The king in this story, King Ahasuerus, or however you say his name, he represents self. His kingdom represents the first heaven. It represents this world. And Mordecai represents the Christian who is a citizen of another kingdom. And Esther represents a Christian. But Mordecai has come into a mentality that Esther hasn't quite come into yet. Mordecai is looking for his king. Esther is looking for what's in it for her. Mordecai is concerned about the kingdom of his king. Esther is concerned about Esther. I want to tell you something, folks. You and I are children of destiny. We've come to the kingdom of this world for such a time as this. We've been destined for this moment. When Esther heard that she was the one being put to the test, look, folks, don't worry about God. He was making it before us. He'll make it after us.
Amen.
He doesn't need us. Amen.
Amen.
Don't worry about God's kingdom. God's kingdom was fine before I got in. It'll be fine if I leave today. God's kingdom's going to make it. The test is not for God. The test is not for the kingdom of God. The test is for you. It's for you, for you, for you, for me. We are Esther. We're Esther. And God is saying to us tonight, Esther, what are you going to do? Are you just going to look out for yourself? Maybe for your household? Is that all you care about? Or can you see, can you conceptualize in your mind the kingdom? Oh, I know that you can't physically see the kingdom no more than Mordecai could physically see the kingdom of Israel. Because Israel was not a place, it was a place in their heart, not a place where they were living physically. Right? They were not living in Israel. But yet Israel was in them. You and I are not living in the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God is within us.
Amen.
And not every Christian conceptualizes and is able to understand the kingdom of God because they want to see a physical, earthly kingdom with a throne and a crown. And that's why I spend more of my time teaching on the kingdom than on anything else, is because Jesus spent more of his time talking about the kingdom than anything else. Right?
Amen.
Must be something to it. Jesus didn't waste words. Now, folks, when we recognize that we're children of destiny, I'll tell you.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled Attitudes for Warfare, which is part of the Spiritual Warfare series.
Or you can accept it and start thinking about it. See, what did he tell us to do with a thought? He said every thought is you to do what? Bring it into captivity. Now look what I'm doing with my hand. Those who are listening by tape won't be able to hear to understand exactly all the symbolisms I'm showing you today, but bring every thought into captivity. When a thought is so tiny that you can just grab it, bring it into captivity. You need to set up a toll booth on your mind. Set up a toll booth on your mind that checks every thought as it comes in. It says, are you in obedience to Christ? Okay, come on in. You in obedience to Christ? No, get out. You in obedience to Christ? No, get out. You in obedience to Christ? Come on in. Now, all of us do have toll booth operators in our lives. Only problem is they've been breathing too many fumes over the years and they're letting stuff through that ought not come through. Of course, I think some of our thoughts have an easy pass toll tag. They just phew right through. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? We're letting the wrong things through. You need to set up a toll booth on your mind where it checks every single thought as it comes in. If you grab the thought when it's only a thought, that's the easiest way to stop it. That's the easiest way to stop that thought is when it's right here. So it's right here. Okay? But if you let it through, let's say it's a thought of fear, and you say, well, you know, really, I should look at this and see whether or not there is a possibility there's something going on, because what if something that does go bad? You know, maybe I should look at this.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled Pulling Down Strongholds, which is part of the Spiritual Warfare series.
Jesus was nailed to a tree that didn't bear fruit. And Jesus says, I'm going to take this tree that didn't produce fruit, and I'm going to cause it to be a symbol of my strength and my power and my authority over the enemy for all time and eternity. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said, you take that tree and you nail me to it, and I'm going to cause that tree to become a bulwark against the forces of the enemy. And when they're being persecuted by the enemy, and when Satan is coming against them and trying to tell them they can't make it, and trying to tell them that their family won't be saved, and trying to tell them there's no hope and there's no way out, they're going to run to the old rugged cross. And that old rugged cross will be a bulwark. It will be a safe place in the time of trouble. It will be their bulwark against the enemy. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Hallelujah! Bless the Lord! We thank you, Lord! We thank you! We thank you! We thank you for the old rugged cross. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! Hallelujah! Man. Hallelujah. Thank God for the cross. It didn't bear fruit. But I tell you what, it's a safe place we can hide in. The old rugged cross. Hallelujah. Did you know what?
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled Taking the Promised Land, which is part of the Spiritual Warfare series.
It amazes me, these Christians who honestly believe that the devil is afraid of them. I got the devil under my feet, got the devil under my feet. You better make sure you have Jesus in your shoes. If you got the devil under your feet and you got flesh in your shoes, you're going to get snake bit. Is this making sense to anybody other than her? See, the thing we need to understand is that if I really was any match for the devil, if the devil was really afraid of me, Jesus would have never even needed to die on the cross. I could have whooped the devil on my own. See, I'm no match for the devil. You're no match for the devil. When I submit myself to God and His authority begins to flow through me and I resist the devil's not fleeing from me. He's fleeing from the authority that's flowing through me. And this is what concerns me about people who think that just because they're saved, the devil is afraid of them. The devil is not afraid of all Christians. He's only afraid of submitted Christians.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled The Three Kings, Authority for Warfare, which is part of the Spiritual Warfare series.
And how are people to be drawn to Jesus? We find it in Joshua chapter 3, where that Joshua told the children of Israel, when they were getting ready to cross Jordan, he said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. And what I would say to you is, if we want to see people come to Christ, it's not going to be done with some big promotion at our churches and doing some big campaigns or anything else. The thing that's going to bring people to Jesus is when they see the glory of God resting upon you. You and I are now the priests. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? In the New Testament, God told us we are the priest. We are a royal priesthood. All right? Who's Mount Zion? We are. We are spiritual Zion. All right? So when we understand that, that means that the glory of God should rest upon us, and that we need to prepare our hearts to be submitted to God in such a way that His glory can rest upon us. And then when other people see God's glory on your face, they will remove from their place and go after it. They need to see us as a living example of the glory of God. Amen. Father, I pray in the name of
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled The Glory of God, which is part of the Spiritual Warfare series.
I want you to picture your faith as an arm with a hand attached to the end of it. If you're having trouble picturing that, look up here. Did that help? Okay, very good. All right, now, just trying to help. Now, here you are in the first heaven. You pray to God who is in the third heaven. Your hand of faith reaches through the first heaven, reaches into the spiritual realm, through the middle heaven, into the third heaven, to God, and you petition Him for what it is that you're asking Him for. Let me see what I'm asking God for. Let's say I'm asking Him for a tape pack. All right. So you're asking God for this. Might as well advertise while I'm preaching. All right. But anyway. So here's your hand of faith holding your answer to prayer. Now, you start to bring it back by faith. Everything that comes into my life from God comes by what? Faith. So my faith starts to pull my answer to prayer from the third heaven back to my life. So now it leaves the third heaven and comes into the second heaven, the middle heaven. Who's the king there? Satan. When he sees that coming through his heaven, what does he say? Does he say, all right, everybody out of the way. Back up, everybody out of the way. Answer to prayer coming through. Come right on through. Is that what he says? No. Now, here's one thing you need to write down and remember this. Satan cannot take my answer to prayer out of my hand of faith. Satan cannot take my answer to prayer out of my hand of faith. I'll say it one more time. Satan cannot take my answer to prayer out of my hand of faith. Why is it important for you to know that? And the reason praise is so effective in driving Satan back and in breaking through the middle heaven is because every time Satan hears you praise God, it reminds him that you got his job.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, if that don't excite you, fake it.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Amen? So every time you begin to praise Him, He moves back. And you praise Him some more, and He moves back some more. And you praise the Lord some more, and He moves back some more. Because it keeps reminding Him, you got His job, and He has to move back. Amen. I think it is so wonderful that God chose the very thing Satan used to do to be the effective weapon of breaking through his territory. Isn't that neat? Isn't God beautiful the way He does that? He says, you know what? Every time that my people punch a hole in His kingdom, I want Him to be reminded that He lost His job because of rebellion. So I want to use what He used to do to be the very hammer, the very weapon that is used to break through His heaven. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you
something. This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled The Three Heavens, which is part of the Spiritual Warfare series.
We must rely on the Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. You go through this Bible and you will find that everything God does, He does by two things, the Word and the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit. He never does them separately from each other. The Word balances the Spirit and the Spirit balances the Word. If you want to know whether or not something you think is the Holy Spirit is right and it's from God, back it up with the Word. If it doesn't go against the Word, then it's probably the Spirit. Amen? If you want to know whether something in the Word that you're thinking is right is really right, then ask the Holy Spirit to let you know in your spirit, am I understanding this correctly? The Spirit will give you that assurance. That's why that you can be safe with that. Now, if you take all Spirit and no Word, then you're ignorant for Jesus. You take all Word and no Spirit, the letter killeth. But the Spirit makes alive. So you need both. Does that make sense to everybody? Amen? Amen? Let me tell you one other thing about truth. When I'm dealing with an individual, I'm to use the Word as a seed. You don't plant seeds with a shotgun, babe. Amen? You drop them. You don't shoot them. You don't even use a straw to pea shoot them either, you know. You just drop them into the ground. Is that right? Okay? So when I'm dealing with people, you cannot use God's Word as a weapon against people. You hear me? We can't do that. You'll devastate them. You'll bruise them. This is a weapon in your hands if you use it as a weapon, and it's a seed if you use it as a seed. So the whole thing I have to do is be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to know when to plant and when not to plant. Don't waste your seed. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Understand when to plant and when not to plant. That's a discerning farmer who knows what the right season is. Amen? Now, how do I use God's Word as a sword? I use God's Word as a sword against my enemy. Who is my enemy? Satan. My enemy is not the church across town. My enemy is not somebody who believes differently than I do. My enemy is Satan. And I need to use this sword as a weapon against him and him only. Now, how in the world can I use the Word as a sword? I must speak the Word. We don't take the Bible and try and throw it up to the middle heaven. We speak it into the middle heaven. But first of all, before you speak it, it has to be rhema to you. And once it's rhema to you, then you need to pray that when you speak it, it will be anointed by the Holy Spirit, and it will not only be rhema to you, but it will be rhema as it goes forth. Because He said that the sword of the Spirit is not the Logos of God, it's not the written Word of God. The rhema of God. I've seen some people try and use the Word as a sword on God Himself. I've seen people take a Bible and say, God, You wrote it and You better do it. You know, like God's going to say, I did? What's that reference again? Let me see. You got a concordance, Gabriel? You know, God doesn't need me to remind Him of what He wrote. And people are getting a little bit too presumptuous trying to tell God what He wrote. He's going to tell them what He wrote if they're not careful. Amen? Only one part. Use it against Satan. And then I pray that when I use it, it's anointed and quickened by the Holy Spirit and made alive as it goes forth.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled The Whole Armor of God, which is part of the Spiritual Warfare series. All of the selections on this CD may be purchased in their entirety. You may do so by visiting the store on our website, markgorman.com. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you is our prayer.